Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest with me for this first hour. His name's James Santel. He hosts a program on Saturday mornings that I love to tune into called Amicus, a legal brief. He is our guest this afternoon. You're going to want to tune in. Remind everyone, it is 9 to 11.
That's correct. 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. How exciting.
I wanted to make sure your time didn't change.
Right. I think, unless there's been a change in the last few minutes or so, I think that's when we're on again tomorrow morning.
Yes. Right? Jim, you are often my accompaniment as I'm doing my house cleaning and other chores on Saturday mornings. I encourage everybody to go ahead and tune in. I just want to mention, and we're going to move on because there's some other breaking news that I'm just hearing about now that I want to share with you all. Donald Trump tweeting or posting today on Truth Social that they're going to seek to remove Harvard's tax-exempt status. This had come up before. It seemingly had died down when it came out that their threats to Harvard and this midnight letter was sent in error. And there
oops.
Was, oops. By the way, folks, perhaps this coming week I'll detail who's on Harvard's legal team, but much like Judge Dugan's legal team, it is a who's who of big time Supreme Court and federal court conservative Federalist Society member type lawyers. These are serious Republican lawyers, if
right.
I can say that.
That's mainstream lawyers.
Yes.
So again, know what they're doing, but on that side of the political aisle. So this is not a Democratic initiative here. This is a part of probably the old Republican Party, the party that used to exist.
Yes, the one that was recognizable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I just wanted to make these two observations about the Harvard kerfuffle. One, couple of facts. There was a lawsuit in 1818 involving Dartmouth, that basically established that universities indeed are tax exempt and they can fundraise and do what they want. And it's those are First Amendment issues.
Makes a lot of sense. Way back then, it still does today.
Correct. Secondly, there was one prior time where a university's tax exempt status was taken. And it was when, I believe it was Oral Roberts University, prohibited interracial dating. So because that is racially discriminatory, they lost their tax-exempt status. They eventually reversed the policy, the thing litigated up, and they got their tax status returned. Here's my bottom line. If a president, because they don't like the opinions or the perceived opinions of an institution, a private institution, can direct the IRS, which is not supposed to be used to extort political cooperation.
Get my agenda done through directives here through the IRS.
Right. If that is possible and legal, it basically means a president can shut down any private
anything.
Organization for any reason or no reason. And effectively run an extortion racket.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's the reason why this, again, is so stunning. He tweets again, it's what they deserve. And the they, Maggie, to your point, could be anything out there now, not just Harvard, right? Significantly, again, I happen to know this because they used to be my clients. It turns out, of course, that on the face of the law, the president has no capability to do this. Now, I hasten to add, that assumes that the law is being followed, right? It doesn't
right.
prevent him from doing this, but the law is very clear. It's so clear, in fact, that if you're an employee of the IRS and someone calls you, whether the president or somebody down the street, and says, you know what, I want to open up, look at Jim Santel's tax, you have an obligation to report that to the Office of the Inspector General. That's how serious this
Which
is.
Which just happened because someone from the Trump administration did, in fact, call someone at the
right.
IRS to tell them to go a little easy on Mike Lindell, the
right,
pillow guy.
Right, right.
And
exactly.
they reported it
reported
to the IRS's
it. Right.
Inspector General.
That's how bright this line is. Nobody should be affecting tax liability out there.
And that's actually differentiable. Like, there is a law that says the president can't use the IRS
right.
in this way.
Right.
That's different from the Department of Justice.
Right.
It is only a post-Nixonian norm
yes.
by under which we have all understood and we should have law enforcement not acting at the political whim of a president to punish political enemies, but rather executing their functions in an objective, diligent manner.
Right.
That's not written into law. The IRS limitation
is there.
Is.
Again, once again, have we spoken about the Congress yet? Yeah, we have, Maggie, right? About their role in this. They established that this is the law of the United States of America. The president again this morning when he says, yeah, I think we're going to pull the tax status. You can make a non-frivolous argument that he is breaking the law by virtue of even direct suggesting that, right?
Correct.
That's how serious this is. And as you said, it's got consequences far beyond just
far
Harvard.
Beyond.
But it's scary and shocking, even so today.
Here's a wee bit of some other breaking news. Two things involving the undead, also known as Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, Donald Trump's one of his closest advisors. Yeah, the guy that kind of looks like Dracula that pops up, very pale, pallid, odd-looking fellow. apparently, he's now a top contender for the National Security Advisor role. Boy, it's very clear Donald Trump cares not a whit about whether or not you can do the job, only if you'll just do what he says. That's news bit one. News bit two, apparently Stephen Miller's, he had this outside group, this legal group that filed a whole bunch of garbage lawsuits. They filed another garbage lawsuit today. They sued Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, arguing that the Judicial Conference of the United States and the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts, which are basically like the logistical arms.
They keep it running. They pay the bills, that sort of thing.
That those things need to be brought under the aegis and direct control of the president, which would be an avenue by which to bully and harass federal court judges, maybe even arrest a couple.
Absolutely. Let's think about that, right? Going through the back door and then coming out through the front door and saying, hey, we're in control here now. Yes, that's right. The Administrative Office of U.S. Courts and all those other trappings. It's an administrative agency, but because you've got a big court system in this country, right? You got to support that, right?
Yep.
And it sits there not too far from Union Station. That's where the building is. I run out of adjectives, right? This is absurd. This is crazy. This is nutso.
When it will lose.
Right, right. Exactly, right.
I do not think that Chief Justice Roberts, who has himself questioned whether or not a congressionally adopted and presidentially signed code of ethics could even apply to the Supreme Court. I don't think they're really going to go all in on this idea that our logistical operations should be controlled by the president.
My guess is right now John Roberts is not scurrying around Washington, D.C. looking for good legal counsel because he's
probably
in trouble
in
this lawsuit. I wonder how service was affected. I wonder if that happens.
Yeah.
And do you walk up to Capitol Hill and knock on the door and say, I'd like to see the Chief Justice. Hey, I've got this lawsuit that Stephen Miller would like to file because I'll eventually be like to shut you all down and see what the reaction is. I say that, of course, tongue in cheek. But this once again underscores what's going on in the White House, right? He's in charge of domestic policy right now, obviously getting yet another job there, or maybe getting a new job.
What is Trump doing other than having little mini temper tantrums and taking pictures and passing out hats at awkward cabinet meetings where everybody like, oh, dear leader, yes.
Right. What is going on right now?
And
now the Stephen Miller is then completely at sea. Is there nobody there who says, no, Stephen, yeah, we can have this discussion over coffee and the mess.
But Jim, the answer to that question is no, there is no
there
one
isn't.
There. There are no adults in the room.
Right.
There are just toadies and lackeys and yes men and women. And we got one of our regular listeners and callers on the air are on the line. Hey, Tom from L.A., how you doing this Friday? Say hello to Jim. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Oh, Maggie, I'll tell you what. Hi, Jim. First, the governor of Wisconsin is a hero to me now.
Yes.
And what he did today. And shame on your leader, this whole mess. But I would just really recommend that everybody this weekend go to Google or go to DuckDuckGo or wherever you want to go and look up Jude Wininsky and the two Santa Claus theories. Because it basically is exactly what the GOP does every time. They spend like drunken sailors. They spend all our money. They make it so we have the biggest deficit in the world. Democrats come in, have to clean it up, but the Democrats in cleaning it up have to cut certain social safety net programs. So therefore, it looks like the Republicans are the tax cut Santa Clauses. And I just recommend everyone read the article. It's Do Santa Claus Theory, Jude Winensky, Common Dreams.
I'll check it out. Tell everybody about what Governor Evers did today.
He basically stood up and said, I'm not afraid of Trump, and I have not done anything in terms of breaking the law the way that Holman had said to him, who Holman is just a puke anyway.
Yeah, he is. Thanks so much, Tom. So if you didn't catch, this was one of the other bits of breaking news that I wanted to get to today. Tom Holman, who is Trump's quote-unquote border czar, he's sort of like today's Elmer Fudd. He's given me a lot of FUD. Mm-hmm. I feel very mm-hmm. FUDDY
right.
when I'm listening to Tom Holman.
Both substance and style, right? Both of those
right,
things.
Right, yeah, right. Very FUDDY. What he said was that basically Governor Evers, we might look to arrest him for the ICE guidance that he gave out to state agencies. Let me be clear about what that is. It's to follow the law, but it also clearly spells out how interactions with ICE agents showing up at departments should be handled. There's nothing illegal about what the governor has done. Multiple governors have done it. The only reason that Holman has got Governor Evers' name in his mouth is to effectively stir up more Wisconsin-focused hate, fear, and intimidation.
Right. Wisconsin is the hotbed of all of our problems, right?
Yes.
And what the governor is doing has got a parallel in what the chief judge, you know him well, obviously,
yes,
Carl Ashley, is also doing. The same kind of thing. He's saying, okay, we shouldn't keep law enforcement, if it has a legitimate purpose, out of courts, they're public buildings, but balance. Under what circumstances can we have them do their jobs? Probably not right inside a courtroom, maybe in the hallway, maybe other places. It's balancing all around, right?
Listen, in Trump 1, there was an injunction entered that prevented ICE agents from entering state courthouses in the states of Massachusetts and New York because they were disrupting state court processes.
Exactly, right, right.
Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in here. Dale from Wausau, say hello to Jim. What you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. Maggie, the reason I called today is on Monday of this week, I got an hour of your show. And then there was a baseball game, and this is through WXCO in Wausau. Today, I got a half hour of your show until 4:30, and then another baseball game. I was just wondering if there is a station here on the dial where I can get your show. I mean, prior to the reorganization there and the time slots and everything, I got your show every day. But now I get an hour, or like today, a half hour, and that's it.
Dale, first of all, thank you so much for listening. We've got my producers on. Somebody is going to pick up the phone, help you find a local affiliate where you may be able to hear me on your regular old terrestrial radio up there in Wausau, Dale. Here's the other thing, Dale. You can download the Civic Media app. It is free onto your cell phone. And then you can just listen to me on the app. Boy, I love me some baseball, but Dale, I love you even more, brother.
We need to have more Dale.
You're opting for me over the crew. I love you, Dale. Big ups. We got Richard on the line, Mark on the line, and you folks on the text and phone lines, 855-752-4842. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we missed and haven't yet talked about that you should absolutely know about from today's and this week's news. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.